Open your Bibles to James chapter 1 in the New Testament. We'll take a look at a text that we oftentimes open to here in the last Sunday of the year. James chapter 1. I always have a decision to make on a snowy day like this, and that is whether to give you a break or make it worth your while. I appreciate you getting out on this day, and I do have, I think, an important word for you. And one of the reasons why our church has the strength and stability that we have is because we have a good number of our people who are well-founded, well-grounded on the Word of God. And I want to challenge you this morning as we finish Christmas and move into the new year to commit yourself to regularly read the Scriptures in 2016. And if you've been paying attention over the last few years, you know that this is something that we do as a pattern. It was a day about like this day, the first time that I went with Julie, my wife's family, to North Dakota to visit all of her relatives. They're all from a little town in North Dakota. And it wasn't Christmas, it was Easter. and we went to North Dakota, it was a blizzard like this. And some of you heard me tell this story before. I was just 19 years old, big gathering of family. I was a little uncomfortable. And Julie's great uncle, Edwin, they're all Swedes up there and farmers. And Edwin kind of cornered me and he said, "Hans, is that a Swedish name?" I said, "No." He said, "Are you from the north?" And I said, "No." He said, "Do you farm?" I said, "No, I don't farm." He turned around and walked away and never spoke to me again. When someone talks to us, when they speak to us, make conversation, then what they're generally looking for is not information, but relationship, right? When someone does not speak to us, we wonder, don't they like me? Are they mad at me? Am I not important to them? They don't want a relationship with me? It's interesting and important when someone speaks to us. At Christmas time, if we celebrate anything, we're celebrating the reality that God speaks to us, that He has spoken to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember that right at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son. So, Jesus is evidence, exhibit A, that God does not leave us alone in our ignorance, in our isolation, in our separation, in our darkness. He takes the initiative. He speaks to us. And the book of Hebrews there is alluding to the fact that he's spoken to us through creation. He speaks to us in a particular way through history, the way He dealt with Abraham and Moses and Israel. He speaks to us through the Scriptures, Old Testament and New. Best of all, highest of all, He speaks to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." And of whom John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So, if you celebrate Christmas at all, you're celebrating the fact that God is a God of revelation. He's a God who speaks to us. Now, maybe that you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you don't believe in the miracle of the Incarnation. But if you do believe what we celebrate at Christmas time, that Jesus is the Son of God who came for us, that He's the Word become flesh to dwell among us, then part of what you're celebrating at Christmas time is the reality of revelation, that God speaks to us, that we know God because God makes Himself known. And best of all, He's made Himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let me be clear. Christmas is more than revelation. It's also the story of redemption. Not just that Jesus came for us, but He laid down His life on the cross of Calvary for us. Christmas is more than revelation. It's redemption. But it's not less than revelation. So if you've gathered here to celebrate the birth of Christ, then understand that part of what you're celebrating is that God speaks to us. You believe that? Listen, we don't know God because we figured Him out. We know God because He made Himself known. We don't know God because we're smarter than other people, but because He's revealed Himself to us. He speaks to us. And that brings us to the importance of being a people who regularly read the Bible. We read the Bible because we believe that in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, God speaks to us. So what I'm going to ask you to do here in just a few moments after we look at the James text, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step forward and pick up one of these little Bible reading plans. Now, and I know that a Bible reading plan like this has become almost altogether obsolete, right? You all on our church app can read your Bible on your smartphone and have 101 different plans to do so. And you may not follow this plan, but I want to give you an opportunity to come pick one of these up so that you can say to your friends and family around you, to your church family, I want to make a commitment to regularly read the Scripture today, this year, 2016, because I have a conviction that God speaks to us through His Word. And with this plan, you can read the whole Bible through in a year, or you can read the Old Testament through, or you can read the New Testament through. It doesn't matter to me what your plan is, but I do want to encourage you to make that commitment. And before I ask you to make that commitment, I want us to open the Word together to James chapter 1. If you have a Bible, open it up to James chapter 1. We're going to take just a brief look this morning at verse 21 through verse 25. And see the importance of reading the Bible and of how we approach the Scriptures. Now, before we read the text, let me remind you that James, who wrote this book, was the brother of Jesus. And he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And one of the interesting things that comes to the surface when we study the book of James is how clear it is that James was influenced by Jesus. There's almost not a verse in the book of James that doesn't echo some of the teachings of Jesus that we find in the Gospels. And this is especially true here in James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, where James is speaking to us about the importance of the Word in our lives. You follow along as I read. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, the Word like a seed planted in the soil, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, a working doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, just real simply, I want you to notice three pictures that James paints of the work of the Word in our lives. And listen, some of you here have already got this. But some of you here, even on a snowy Christmas morning, even some of you who have been Christians maybe for years, you've never made a commitment to regularly receiving the Word of God. Not just hearing it taught or preached, but reading it for yourself, memorizing it, making the Word of God a part of your life. And this is going to be very important for you. First of all, I want you to notice how in verse 21, James says that the Scriptures, the Word is like a seed planted in the soil of our lives. In verse 21, James challenges us to receive the Word. That's the operative word. To receive the Word of God, the Scriptures, like good soil receives the Word. Now, where would James get that idea? That when we hear the Bible taught or preached, and when we read the Bible for ourselves, it's important that we not just go through the motions, but that we actually receive the Word of God in humility, so that we'd be like good soil receiving the seed. Well, he got that from the teaching of Jesus. Remember, one of the parables Jesus told over and over again was a parable about a sower that went out to sow seed. And broadcasting that seed, some seed didn't even make it to the field. It fell on the path and the birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on rocky soil that just had a thin layer and it sprung up fast, but it was soon gone. Some fell on the soil that was infested with thorns and weeds and choked the crop out so that it never could bear fruit. But Jesus said some of the seed finds good soil. And it springs up and bears fruit 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. And the disciples said, Jesus, explain that story to us, that parable. And Jesus says, well, first of all, the seed is the Word. Listen, that influences James. He says, humbly receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to save your soul. And so he's calling us to be good soil, to clear away the filthiness, the trash, the old habits, the residual sin that's still a part of our life. Get rid of that. The rocks, the anger and bitterness. That break up the hard soil of pride and prejudice. You know, some of us here are in danger of a very legalistically reading the Word of God, hearing it preached every week, reading it every day, studying our Sunday school lesson. But we tolerate disobedience and sinfulness, ungodliness. We tolerate a pride that makes our heart so hard that the Word of God cannot penetrate and bear fruit. And James is warning us against that. Receive with humility the Word implanted, he says. It's a powerful picture. So that every day, if you're going to read your Bible every day you open it up and say, oh God, break my heart. Make me good soil. So that I would receive your Word like good seed planted that would bear fruit. Remember the Old Testament prophet Hosea, who said to Israel, you need to break up your fallow ground. And now most of us are so far away from the farm that we don't even know what that means. But what Hosea was saying is, you need the plow to cut the hard soil so that you can hear, so that you can receive God's word in such a way that it has an impact on your life. So, first of all, James says, understand that the word is like a seed planted in the soil of our lives. And then in verse 22 and 23 and 24, James draws a kind of another picture, almost a cartoon image of the word being like a mirror. And we look into it to see ourselves. But seeing ourselves, we refuse to change. It is a cartoon image. There's kind of an absurdity here. James says, imagine a man that looks at his face in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. Imagine that you look at your face in a mirror and you realize that you cut yourself shaving, but you walk away and bleed the rest of the day. Or that you got some Christmas gravy on your chin, but you don't even wipe it off, right? Yet you see your face in a mirror, but you don't act. You don't do anything about what you see. The Word of God is like that mirror. Now, in verse 22 and 23 and 24, with his image, James is dealing with, he mentions hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. Some people hear and do, act. Some people hear and they don't do anything. They don't act. Again, I want you to understand how closely connected James is to Jesus at this point. Do you remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? That when Jesus gets through with that beautiful teaching in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, he wraps it all up by saying, let me tell you the story of two men. Both of them hear my word. The first one hears and acts. He does something about what he hears. And he's like a person who builds his house on the rock. And the storm comes. And the house stands firm. There's another man, Jesus said, who hears my word and does not do anything. He doesn't act. He's like the person who builds his house on the sand. And the same storm comes, and the ruin of that house is great. Well, that influenced James. So he's saying, listen, it's not enough for you to gain insight. It's not enough for you to know the Word of God. In fact, do you notice verse 22? When James puts his finger in the chest of people who hear the Word but don't act on it, he says, you are deluded. You're self-deceived. And listen, certainly this is true for the teaching of Jesus and for the whole counsel of God's Word. There is no category of mankind more prone toward being self-deluded than a person with a lot of religious knowledge. That is a person, the kind of person that comes to church the Sunday after Christmas when it's snowing outside, is in a high risk category, right? Somebody who has a lot of Bible knowledge is vulnerable, is in danger of being someone who's self-deceived, because the deception goes, I know all this stuff, so I must be okay. And anytime your Sunday school teacher raises an issue, or the preacher makes a point, or you read something in Scripture, you go, oh yeah, I already know that. It's not about knowing it, James says. It's about doing it. And if you know it, but you're not acting upon it, James says you're deluded. You're self-deceived. It's a strong language James is employing here. So the Word is like seed planted in the soil of our lives, and the Word is like a mirror. And then I want to make sure that you pick up on the language in verse 25. I think that James here is pulling on language from the Old Testament, especially the book of Proverbs, and certainly from the teaching ministry of Jesus. And he's describing the Word as a way. The Word as a way of life. The Word is a kind of a map. That if we follow it, it gets us to where we want to go. Right? I mean, how many of you want to be wandering around lost in life? You kind of want to take the right path. You want to get to where you want to go. You want to be blessed. And James is employing that kind of language. The Word is like a map. Look at verse 25. But the one who looks intently, carefully at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a working doer, this person will be blessed in what he does. Now, there's a couple of interesting things about the language. One is, most people in our world today, and even a lot of people in the church today, think that the word law and the word liberty don't belong in the same sentence. Right? The law of liberty? I mean, most people in the world think, wait a minute, the law restricts us. It keeps us from being free. Liberty is about not having a law, doing what I want to do. But James talks about the Scripture, the Word of God, as the law of liberty. And in doing so, he again is referring to an important teaching of Jesus. We know this because he talks about the law of liberty and he talks about abiding in the law of liberty. It's a reference to Jesus, especially John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, a lot of people, Jesus was at the height of his popularity. A lot of people were following him, and even a good number of Jews were saying, we believe in this guy. But that wasn't enough for Jesus. Jesus said, listen, if you abide in my word, same language as James, if you abide in my word, then you will truly be my disciples. Do you remember what Jesus said next? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why James talks about the law of liberty. The Word of God is the truth that sets us free. It's like trying to find your way without a map. That's not freedom, right? That's frustration. That's dangerous. But to have the map is to know a truth that sets you free. And so James here, once again, is echoing the language of Jesus. Blessed in what he does. James is so practical, it's almost as if he says, listen, friend, instead of spending 2016 begging God to bless what you're doing, why don't you just get busy doing what he's already blessed? And just do what he's blessing. What he's already declared his blessing on. Be blessed in what you do. Well, listen, God speaks to us. And I think God speaks to us through His Word. And it's my prayer that some of you, because you stumbled in here on a snowy day in December, might make a simple commitment that says, you know what? I'm going to get serious about regularly reading the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible through. I'm going to read the New Testament this year. I'm going to read the whole Bible this year. And listen, can I tell you the truth? If you do that in 2016, it'll help you. But you might not even notice a difference. But if you do that for 3 years, for 5 years, for 10 years, you'll be blessed in what you do. It'll make all the difference in the world. Can I tell you that I've never met a person that does not want to be a wise and godly old person? I've never met anybody that doesn't want to be a wise and godly old man or old woman. Here's the problem. Can I tell you the truth? If you want to be a wise and godly old man or old woman, then you need to start about 20 years before you get there. Maybe 40. If you wait till you're already old, it's going to be almost too late. Sink your roots deep down into the Word of God. Now let me tell you, James is primarily here talking about how receiving the Word of God makes an impact in your own life, your personal life. But it's also important for the life of the church. Remember that the Apostle Paul tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, so that the man of God, the woman of God, might be adequate and fully equipped for every good work. Listen, we have work for you to do. The Lord has work for you to do. And if you are not strengthened in the Word of God, if you're not founded and grounded on the Word of God, then you're not going to be adequate for that work. And so this is a commitment that's important for you as an individual, but it's a commitment that's important for us as a church. And I'm asking you today to make this commitment that 2016, you're going to be serious about regularly receiving the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the Scriptures, Your holy Word. We praise You, Lord God Almighty, because You don't leave us in the dark. You love us. You care for us. You're so interested in us that You reveal Yourself to us. We thank You for the way that You have spoken to us perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, and for the way that even today You speak to us through Your Holy Scriptures, Your Word. And I pray, Father, that we would in humility receive the Word implanted. I pray, Father, that when we see our face in a mirror, that we'd act accordingly. I pray that You'd give us grace to be obedient to Your Word, to follow the path that You've already declared blessings on. I pray, Father, that we'd be a people strong in the Word, adequate and equipped for every good thing. Continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song together, and as we sing, we'll stand in a moment. And if you'd like to make a commitment to regularly receive the Word of God, to read the Word this year, then step forward and grab one of these reading plans, whether you use it or not, just so that your friends, your family will know about it. Some of our pastors will be here at the front. If you need to speak to us about your personal relationship with Christ, or if you have some prayer need, then certainly we'd love to have a conversation with you. Let's be doers of the Word and not hearers only now. As we stand together and sing, You Come.